Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate you listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson.
Yes, great to be here on this beautiful spring day. And I'm sure it's spring weather, like in places like Kansas.
Yeah.
It's probably spring there, too.
Ray Pritchard's in Kansas. Right?
Give us a
beautiful spring day report for this March 28th.
It's cloudy. It's cold. It's 35 degrees. They're talking about snow. The world is turned upside down.
Sounds like to me it's messing with your attitude.
Yes, it is. Look, I just got back from 17 days down in Florida. Yep. I rode my bike 140 miles while I was down there in my shorts and short sleeves and all that. Man, I'm telling
you. Well, surely there's some warm weather on the horizon.
Yes, it is. It's coming.
Yeah, it's called June.
It's called June. Thank you, Fred.
Well.
What you going to do?
I don't. Do we need to? It's gorgeous here in the South today. Maybe it is in other parts of the country, but most of the South anyway. 58 right here, right now. Let's see what we got here coming up. Hey, Chris Woodward.
Good morning. I want to point out that Ray, you know, Ephesians 5:20 does tell us we should give thanks to God for all things, including cold, miserable weather.
I'm thankful for this space heater I've got down here.
Praise God!
My feet.
Oh, my word.
Oh, I'm just telling you. Everything's
good. The older you get, the less you relish. Yes. Well, I don't know if you ever relish cold weather, but anyway, maybe in June, July, we'll be saying, hey, I can't wait for fall.
Well,
we'll be complaining in July here in the South.
We'll have something to complain about.
Yeah. Right. Pay the price.
That's right.
In July. So you were in Florida. What were you doing down there?
I was at Word of Life for 2 weeks down there, just north of Tampa, and I spent a week speaking at the conference center down there, and then last week, I was teaching the book of Daniel at Word of Life Bible Institute, and wonderful time, wonderful with the adults, and fantastic time with the college students, and like I said, great weather, so it was a long trip, but, you know, I'm thankful to have a home to come to and glad to be back home and all the rest, right?
That's what I'm talking about. I came and went to Israel since you went.
That's right.
When did you go down there?
I was gone 17 days. Whatever day that. I think I left before while you were still here, and then got back. How did your trip to Israel go? Did you have a good time? Safe time?
Over there? Everything? Yeah, we had 153 people.
Wow.
Three buses. We had, just wonderful folks from around the country. Almost all of them support American Family Association. Many of them listen to this network, American Family Radio, and we got to see everything. You know, nothing was blocked
nothing
or called
closed,
off or shut down. Yeah, so it was a wonderful time in the Holy Land, seeing all the places that we read about in the Bible.
Yes.
Knowing that, when you grow up, and you read those Bible stories, it seems like a far off fantasy land, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when you actually get to go and see and touch and walk, walk the places Jesus walked, and even before time of Christ, you see ancient ruins and so forth. And then you go to the Sea of Galilee. As I told the folks when we were on the Sea of Galilee, I said, look around. This is the same terrain Jesus saw.
That's right.
I mean, 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you read about the Sea of Galilee, what Jesus walked on water and Jesus calmed the storm. Well, we were there, at the very place that happened. So, and the Sermon on the Mount and so forth. So it was a wonderful time. We're going to go next year in, Lord willing, 2024. We're going to be going again in March of 2024 to Israel. So we'll be telling you more about that trip. That's something, folks, you're listening, you want to do with us. We'd love to have you. All right, Christopher Woodward, what's leading the news this morning? It's a sad story out of Nashville, right? Just when we were ending our show yesterday is when news broke about what happened there.
Yes. We need to continue to be in prayer for the people of Nashville as well as the first responders that are having to work this case. And I say the case because today investigators in the Nashville area are continuing to look into the shooter and what she planned on doing at this school, but maybe even other schools. First things first, in a story that you can read about on our website, afn.net, the shooter has been identified as 28-year-old Audrey Hale. According to USA Today this morning, Audrey Hale had a manifesto, had other written materials, and she may have actually planned on shooting up a different school, but decided against that based on what she thought was too much security. That's how it was worded by USA Today and some other news outlets that have picked up on this. But again, the shooter has been identified as 28-year-old Audrey Hale. Meanwhile, police have identified Hale as being a transgender woman. She was a woman that identified and dressed as a man. She even had he, him pronouns listed on her LinkedIn profile. So there's a lot to unpack here, and it's an unfortunate situation, of course, because
how many died?
Six people dead. Three kids, three adults, and then the gunman or gunwoman, Audrey Hale, was killed by police.
Now, one of the victims was the daughter, kindergarten age, it looked like to me, daughter of the pastor of the church that houses a school, true?
Yes. Horrible situation. I mean,
what was the, is there any indication, Fred, of the motivation of this
No, the shooter, a former student at the school, we know that. I read somewhere where she may have been bitter about being forced to go to that school at a young age.
But 10, 12 years later, she comes back to kill?
What a lot of people are waiting for is, according to the police, this young woman, the former student, the shooter who's now dead, apparently had written a manifesto. In other words, I am doing this because. And the police at this point are not releasing that. We all hope that they will, because that perhaps will better help us to better understand what the motivation was. But when you stop and think, what possibly could be so bad in an individual's life? Apparently she wrote some friends before she carried out this deed yesterday, that she was going to do something and we'll see you in the great beyond or something. I'm paraphrasing that. So she expected to be killed in the activity that she was going to get involved with. And so she's a troubled young woman, but maybe this manifesto will just broaden a little bit of our understanding as to why she did this horrible deed.
Ray, your thoughts on this?
Well, it is one of in a long string of shocking and extremely sad events that have happened in our society. It's obvious, Fred, that this was not a momentary event.
No.
It's not as if she got up and just had some idea and got carried away. The police say she had detailed drawings. She had done surveillance. Mm-hmm. She had actually considered another school, but it had, quote, too much security. And I think a lot of us have already seen the security footage from the cameras at the school, of which there were a number. She actually, you know, you can see in the security footage, she shot her way through the glass doors and came inside. And that's chilling because, Tim, you can see it's methodical. She goes into one room. She goes into another room. She's cautious. She's thoughtful. She knows exactly what she's doing. And I saw where the police chief there suggested there may be some sense of resentment involved. But she was 28 years old. So you're talking about, this is 15 years since she had been a student there. So very, very, very unbelievably sad. Unbelievably sad and tragic, and our prayers are with everybody connected with the Covenant Christian School and the Covenant Presbyterian Church and the pastor, the pastor there whose daughter was among those killed. So sad.
Is this evil personified? Right.
This is what evil is. This is what evil looks like. This is evil. You know, I was reading in the Bible yesterday. There's none that does good, no, not one. Paul said that in Romans, but he was really quoting from the book of Psalms. There's evil let loose in the world because there's evil inside the human heart. And who knows what resentment and what twisted thinking let this young woman, 28 years old, so young herself, to do this. No, this is what evil looks like when it's not checked, when it's not stopped. And now there are going to be funerals. There's unbelievable sadness because of the evil this young woman committed.
Chris, did the campus have security?
That is, that's an interesting question. I wondered the same thing myself. I've not been able to really determine that it was anything on the same level as a school in terms of, you know, armed officers. You got guns. Obviously, they had cameras. I'm not sure. Let me double check on that before I give you.
There's been no mention of a school police officer, a school guard there. All the doors were locked. That's why she had to shoot her way in. And that's Ray already mentioned that. So there is no indication that they had, like many public schools
right.
today, have an on-site armed police officer all the time.
Yeah. Well, I bet there's a lot of discussion today at schools all over America, in particular Christian schools.
Yes.
About upgrading security mm-hmm. if they haven't already done so, don't already have a security
resource officer, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
But to your point, though, the police response in this horrible incident was absolutely incredible. From the time the 911 call went out to the time they got there and were able to neutralize the situation, they say it was 14 minutes. And as the police were entering the school building, they were being shot at by this woman. She was on, there's two stories. She was on the second story. They were shooting at them, but they plowed forward. And they went inside, and they were able to take her down within 14 minutes.
Yeah, it's just a wonder and a miracle that, I mean, six people passing away is heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, one person dying is heartbreaking, especially the children here. But the fact that this killer was not able to murder more people I don't know what the word is exactly. It's kind of stunning, really.
Well, obviously, she planned to kill many more because she had three weapons. Mm-hmm. She was well-armed, but they were able to stop her. A lot of people are comparing this morning to what happened in Nashville with regards to the police response there
right.
and what happened in Uvalde, Texas,
right,
where the police delayed, and there were more than 20, I think, in the Uvalde case.
Yeah.
So they have trained. The police in Nashville, we're told, have trained for these kinds of situations, and their training paid off yesterday. All praise to these police officers.
And you know, by the way, the police have released the body cam footage, which just in the last hour that has come out. And just before we went on the air, I was watching it. If you want to see what bravery in action looks like, watch that body cam footage. It's more dramatic. I mean, you see these recreations coming out of Hollywood, but this is more dramatic than anything I have ever seen on some TV show. And that has just been released. Fred, it's exactly what you said. Under fire, they entered the building, and they did not stop until they had neutralized the shooter.
To your point, fellas, about, you know, this being evil and also praising first responders here, I've got a soundbite that kind of gets to both of those issues. What you're going to hear now is James Smallwood, the Nashville Fraternal Order of Police president, saying evil exists in this world and we have to have people willing to confront it. And he also praised the first responders. Clip one.
You know, I think it's important to remember that evil exists in our world, and as long as that evil exists, we're going to need somebody who's willing to charge into the gunfire. And what we saw yesterday were were brave men and women, first responders, who literally ran into gunfire as they were taking it and went in there to stop the threat from spreading any further. And those officers and those first responders, the measures they took were far beyond what anybody ever expects of a regular human being. And we just have to thank them for what they did and praise them for the excellent job that they did. You know, we got the call, and in 14 minutes we were able to stop the threat. And that is absolutely a phenomenal response, and we should be thankful for that.
Amen.
We should also not back up efforts to defund police, because when that happens, you don't have rapid response times like this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Very sad, tragic story out of Nashville yesterday. It does make you wonder, and until they release the manifesto that this woman wrote, it does make you wonder, did she choose this school because it was a Christian school?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if she had targeted another school, a public school or whatever, and just said, I can't go in there because of the security, and then changed to this school because it was more vulnerable, then it wouldn't necessarily be a case of her targeting school because this was a Christian school that she had gone to. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see exactly what that manifesto says. But if she did target this school because these were Christians, then that would qualify as a hate crime. Now, at this point, it doesn't matter because the people are dead and she's dead. But it still would be interesting to know what the motivation was, what the true motivation was for going to this particular school. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
Let's do this. Donald Trump was on with Hannity last night, and they talked about several things. One of them being this ongoing case in Manhattan, where a grand jury has been investigating Biden for alleged hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. Investigating Trump. I'm sorry.
I saved you right there, Chris.
Thank you very much. I'm going to buy you lunch.
You do that.
So Donald Trump, the former president, was on with Hannity talking about all this last night, and Trump said, this entire case against me is a lie. And Trump said, this is the only way that Democrats know how to come after him. Clip six.
In my opinion, it's a new way of cheating on elections. It's called election interference. What they're doing is, if they can't win at the ballot box, because I'm leading everybody by a lot in the polls, for every Republican, frankly, and every Democrat by a lot, including Biden by a lot. And they can't beat you that way. They're going to do this kind of stuff. This has never been done like this before in the history of our country to this extent.
I will say, Trump made the point that he's, leading in the polls. There is at least one poll out there today, that being a Marist poll. Washington Examiner picked up on this. I can share the link myself here in a second. But that Marist poll finds that more than 6 in 10 people do not want Trump to be president.
Well, I about decided I just need to keep my mouth shut on this kind of stuff because it ticks off a lot of our listeners, and they post it on Facebook and they get mad at Tim. So he's not leading a lot of, here I go though. I'm going to say it anyway. That Trump talks like that all the time. Mm-hmm. I understand that. He's not leading. He may be leading in the Republican field, but he's not leading all Democrats by a lot. That's just not the case. Okay. I do think there's a lot of sympathy right now for the former president because he is under a political attack by the left on this deal with the hush money, and Cohen and so forth, his former attorney. But sometimes, too, your past actions, the Bible talks about this, do get you in trouble down the road. And so I think some of what President Trump's dealing with now, again, I think it was a political witch hunt. I don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. But I'll just stop right there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Fred. Take it from there. You make Trump supporters, which I voted for him twice,
yes,
and thanked him and endorsed him,
yes,
but I can't endorse everything he says and does and his behavior sometimes. And when I criticize that, people say, "Oh, you're against President Trump." No, I'm not against President Trump. We just have to point out factual issues here.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I think what we can all agree upon is that Donald Trump has been under attack by the Democrats and by the mainstream media since 2015 when he rode down that escalator in New York. They have been out to get him. We don't have to rehearse the whole Russia collusion stuff. I mean, this man has lived through an attack that I think is unprecedented, at least in our time, from the political left. There's no question about that. But when moving on now to where we are, where, you know, the campaign has opened up for 2024, and the behavior of the former president has been questioned by a lot of people who supported him twice over the years. That's just the way it is. And we're going to have to see how the American public reacts to that.
You know, I think President Trump, as Ed said, would do well just to learn. He's not going to do this, but I'll just say it anyway. keep your fire aimed at the real enemy, which is the Democrats and the left. Those are the ones who are attacking you, okay? Those are the ones who are, okay? Don't go after Governor DeSantis, for goodness sakes, or any of the other Well, that's the only one he's gone after, really.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much is Governor DeSantis. He can't stand him for some reason. He doesn't. I was reading this morning when Governor DeSantis was first elected, and Donald Trump did endorse him, and that helped him win. There's no question about that. Even DeSantis says that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's true. It helped him win. He barely won. Mm-hmm. Governor DeSantis barely won, even with Trump's endorsement.
Yes.
Back in, when was that, 18? Was that, what year was that?
Right.
18?
Yes.
Ray?
18. But, he just right. ran.
But, okay. But then DeSantis, as governor, I was reading this morning, he was very outspoken in defense of President Trump.
Yes.
Especially on the impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke out as governor and says, we 100% have your back. When they were going after Trump on impeachment on the
yes.
Ukrainian
mm-hmm.
Phone call
yes.
situation. So I'm just saying that Ron DeSantis did show his, quote, loyalty to yes. President Trump while he was while President Trump was in office and DeSantis was a governor.
And even in recent days, Governor DeSantis
yes,
has been critical of the district attorney in New York who is trying to get Donald Trump charged.
Right.
DeSantis says that it's a witch hunt.
Right.
It's unfair. It's weaponization of a judicial system against a political enemy. DeSantis has said that in the last 10 days.
Yeah.
So he has agreed with the former president that the former president is under a political attack.
And a lot of folks have, there's a lot of, speaking about the untruths that are being spread about, that have been spread about Donald Trump.
Yes.
And you've mentioned that
mm-hmm.
since 2015. A lot of things. I had to talk with a lady on the phone yesterday who supports our ministry. Hey, Tim, you're, Ron DeSantis is being supported by George Soros. Huh? Like, do you know this? You know? I said, that's not true. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where did you get this information? George Soros would never endorse any Republican.
No.
Okay? Certainly not someone as conservative as Governor DeSantis. What George Soros did a few weeks back was he made a commentary about Trump and DeSantis and their viability
mm-hmm.
To win the presidency and run against a Democrat. He was just making a political observation. He may have said DeSantis has a better chance to win against Biden. That doesn't mean he's endorsing Ron DeSantis, and DeSantis is having lunch with him this afternoon.
That's right.
Anyway, a lot of this rumor stuff is just ridiculous. We'll be back momentarily.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starn. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Cracker Barrel has gone woke. The restaurant chain with the rocking chairs out front just rolled out a new item on the menu, something called Impossible Sausage, made from plants. Nothing says home-style breakfast like scrambled eggs and sausage made from azalea bushes and ferns. Cracker Barrel says customers are craving a nutritious plant-based option, but my social media feed says otherwise. Folks are riled up. They say the fake meat goes against Cracker Barrel's brand, a restaurant known for biscuits and gravy. Comfort food, not health food. The average Cracker Barrel customer is not going to sit down for a plate of vegan biscuits with a side of almond milk gravy. By the way, the reason they called the sausage impossible? It's impossible to eat. Be sure to read my book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, now available at your favorite bookstore and online at toddstarnes.com.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Our email is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. You know, Ray, I predicted a month ago there's going to be some interesting Thanksgiving conversations when we get to that point. Among Christian conservative family members who are one side's going to be on President Trump's side and the other's going to be for Governor DeSantis. And it's going to be, I'm just going to say, hopefully the turkey won't fly with the gravy. That could get ugly. But, you know what? I think both gentlemen and there's some others too, but those two will be the two primary choices for Republicans in the upcoming primaries. And listen, I told the lady yesterday, she said, well, I think President Trump is better qualified to be president than Governor DeSantis. And she assumed that I was for DeSantis, even though I had not said that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, listen, ma'am, completely respect that. I completely respect that. Mm-hmm. If that's your view, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You're a knowledgeable person. Now, you're wrong about Soros backing DeSantis, but mm-hmm. I said, But here's the part of the whole DeSantis v. Trump that I just got to speak out on, right? I don't like when one side or the other slanders the other person, because the other person is a good, trying to do the best that they can do, and they love our country. I'm talking about Trump and DeSantis. So I don't like, for example, there's a big thing now. Well, DeSantis is a puppet of Jeb Bush. That's what a lot of these folks are saying. And he's a Paul Ryan disciple. Even Trump says this about DeSantis. Have you heard this?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not fair. You can say all day, I'm for Trump. He's the best candidate to be president, and I'm for him. But don't say Ron DeSantis is a rhino.
No.
Huh?
Anything but.
Or a globalist. And they say, well, because Jeb Bush backs him, therefore. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
And I just have to say, listen, Jeb Bush, the former governor of Florida, who wasn't altogether a bad Florida governor of Florida. You can talk to people who lived there. He did a lot of good things, Jeb Bush did. Mm-hmm. Jeb Bush was at a, was commenting on, all Jeb Bush said was, DeSantis is doing a good job. I think he'd make a great presidential candidate. And so therefore, here's where these people work. Therefore, Jeb Bush, from a globalist family, whatever globalist means sometimes, likes Ron DeSantis. Therefore, DeSantis is a puppet of Jeb Bush. You see how this works?
Yeah.
And they slander the man mm-hmm. like that. That's the kind of stuff I'm saying. If you want to say I support Donald Trump over Ron DeSantis, go for it.
Yes.
Because I respect that opinion, okay? I don't have a problem with that. But don't slander Governor DeSantis mm-hmm. while you're supporting Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. That's why the crowd went quiet in Waco the other night.
Yes.
You had thousands and thousands of people there to hear President Trump and support him. And they were cheering. Mm-hmm. But when Donald Trump started to go after Governor DeSantis, the crowd went quiet because they don't like that.
No, it doesn't help the party. It doesn't help Republicans.
Right.
When Donald Trump does that kind of thing, mocking DeSantis.
Right.
You know.
And listen, one other thing. Here's the counter. Am I talking too much here?
No.
Okay.
No.
Ray, am I talking? Ray, you're welcome
you're
to stay on the.
Great,
you're welcome to stay on the show.
Listen.
Listen, I'm trying to be a peacemaker here, mm-hmm. and what I'm saying is, okay. The other day, with President Trump, you know, when he said that DeSantis was a globalist rhino, mm-hmm. well, somebody needs to say, no, sir, mm-hmm. you're wrong about that.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. you're wrong. That's not true. Mm-hmm. If you want to say I don't like Ron DeSantis, because he's challenging me or whatever, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But don't make up stuff mm-hmm. about somebody and then try to harm his credibility in a dishonest way.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what's happened to President Trump himself.
That's right.
Over the years. Listen, when people want to say, well, DeSantis is a rhino, which is ridiculous, mm-hmm. I say, okay, what's your standard? Well, he's endorsed by Jeb Bush. Well, Jeb Bush really hadn't endorsed him yet. He just commented that he would be a good candidate. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Paul Ryan, mm-hmm. the former congressman from Wisconsin, who was Speaker of the House. I say, well, okay, that's your standard. Okay. What do you say when I say President Trump endorsed Mitt Romney? Chief Rhino. And said Romney would make a great senator, and I'm endorsing him. Mm-hmm. When Romney was running for Senate in Utah.
Yes.
Now, DeSantis' team could say, well, Trump's a rhino mm-hmm. because he supported. You see how this works?
Yes. Yes.
So, I'm just calling for, I know it's politics is ugly and rough and tumble and everything like that, but when it comes to the family, that is those of us who are conservatives and appreciated what Donald Trump did as president, absolutely a lot, and he got the votes of conservatives mm-hmm. twice. Just just don't say things that are not true and are unfair about your opponents. That's all I'm saying, Ray. Go ahead.
Well, I just was checking the comments on Facebook, Tim. You'll be the Today's Issues Facebook page. You'll not be surprised that you your soliloquy there has not completely convinced all of our listeners, right? But you knew this, right? You knew this. Everything you said is totally true. Everything. There's nothing wrong with anything you said. I want to say this about Jeb Bush. He was the problem with Jeb Bush was he was a good governor and a terrible presidential candidate, right?
That's right.
He did a good job as governor. It's just when he decided to run for president. And when, you know, I don't know what you guys think, but when President Bush calls DeSantis a globalist.
You mean President Trump?
Yeah, I'm sorry. When President Trump calls, DeSantis a globalist rhino, he doesn't even believe that himself, does he?
But then why does he say it?
Because it's politics and it's red meat for his base. He can't really believe that.
All right. I mean, what about grooming?
Oh, that's way below the belt. That's
well. Why did he do that?
That's gutter politics, Tim.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I don't want to defend him.
I'm just saying President Trump said Governor DeSantis was a groomer of teenage girls and a boy, he said. And I'm just saying he needs to take that back, take that off, and apologize for that.
That's right.
Because as you just
look,
said,
look, you could call a guy a globalist rhino. That's one thing. But when you make the statements about the groomer, that's you have descended deep into the swamp. Way below the belt, right, Tim? Right? You can't say that unless you're willing to back it up.
Yeah. All right, next story, Chris.
Well, there is a poll out which is very sad, and you know it won't shock everybody when I say this, but long story short, if you have felt that our country is moving away from values, things like patriotism, faith, honor, truth, civility. You are not alone, because there is a Wall Street Journal poll out. I've shared the links on our Facebook page. I shared both the Wall Street Journal piece, which is probably going to be behind a paywall at some point, which I hate, and because I want you to be able to read it for free, people, I've also shared the New York Post's coverage of this, and it, again, is a Wall Street Journal poll, which finds that traditional values are largely disappearing in our country. Patriotism, religion, community have all plunged dramatically. And Fred has been poring over this. We've been working on this kind of as a story. Steve's working behind the scenes to get us some reaction as well. So stay tuned on AFN.net. In the meantime, Fred, what stood out to you here?
Well, it is sad. In 1998, 70%, and the Wall Street Journal has been doing this poll with the folks, I think, at the University of Chicago for some time now, NORC. And when the question was asked about patriotism, 70% of Americans rated that as extremely important. In this latest poll by Wall Street Journal and NORC, only 38%. To me, that was absolutely shocking. Also, the priority of having children, the share of Americans who say that having children, involvement in their community, and hard work are very important values, has also fallen. On the question of having children, 1998, 59% of Americans said this is important with regards to having children, having strong families. That has dropped to 30%. And then on the question of religion, is your religion important to you? In 1998, 62% of Americans said very important to me. Today, 39%. So the question is, and I'll throw this to Ray. Ray, what is going on in our country? What is happening when the values that I believe has made this country great, that an increasing number, an alarming number of Americans no longer believe that?
You know, if you're looking for some red lights flashing about where our culture is going, this Wall Street Journal poll, this ought to make us sit up, and this ought to make us sit up, open our eyes, and be concerned. We, at AFR, Fred, we've been warning about this, but now it is, now we've got the facts. Now it's there. and you look at these, you look at the graphs. Patriotism was up here. It's down here. It's interest in God, religion. It was up here. It's way down here. It's the importance of the family was up here. Now it's way down here. What happens to any society that no longer values the family, no longer values the church, no longer pays attention to God, no longer is interested in patriotism? There's nothing but trouble ahead. This is to me like the last step before society descends into total moral chaos. It just tells you how big the trouble is in our society. The unraveling of what, Fred, what we always took to be the moral foundation of America, it's unraveling, has unraveled before our very eyes.
Well, I think the moral foundation of America is also tied to patriotism.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, we have an expression we use in our country, God and country, right? God number one, but for our country's history, God number one, In God We Trust is our national motto. Mm-hmm. But then there's country.
Yes.
And we love our country.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we all grew up on in Canada, I'm sure you did with the Canadian Pledge of Allegiance. But Ray, Chris, almost everybody listening to me right now grew up in a patriotic era. Where we saluted the flag, you stood for the national anthem, you took your hat off, you put it over your heart. Schools opened with the Pledge of Allegiance and prayer in most schools.
Mm-hmm.
But the these lefties have been attacking patriotism as a bad thing.
Yes,
and undermining the credibility of our country's founding.
Mm-hmm.
And make saying we're an illegitimate country because we stole the land or something like that. And then you have the 1619 Project. You have the far left on the colleges and universities undermining America. So all this is taking its toll.
Yes.
I think that's what that survey you're citing. Where'd you get this survey?
It's a Wall Street Journal NORC poll. NORC is at the University of Chicago. And as I say, they've been tracking this stuff for a number of years. There's another interesting aspect to this, and I found this rather startling. Patriotism important to us, 1998, 70%. In 2019, which isn't that long ago, 4 years, it was still 61% when they took the survey. But now, 4 years later, it's at 38%. What has happened in the last 4 years? You were saying something interesting the other day, Tim. Something happened in this country when in the George Floyd incident in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
It opened up something that has been brewing for a long time. And I think the far left out there used the George Floyd incident to bring to the forefront that police are bad. Conservatives are a danger to this country. And now we have a government. And we've seen so much evidence of this. I'm talking about the Biden administration weaponizing a judicial system against parents who are upset about boys using girls' washrooms, parents who are upset about boys being allowed to play against girls, female athletic teams. All of this has been happening. Parents in Virginia found out what their kids are being taught, critical race theory. The race card, we used to talk about some politicians doing it. Well, now the media has also been deployed to back up the far left. So the change in 4 years is absolutely incredible. On the idea of religion being important to me, 62% in 1998. In 2019, 48%, but that drops to 39% in just 4 years. So something has happened,
right.
And I've seen it in the media. Not too many years ago, media outlets like the Associated Press were still trying to be somewhat unbiased in their reporting. But the gloves have come off. It's all about the left. The left is good. Anything conservative is evil. I wanted to play a clip of a guy, Jake Beckett, who was on Fox this morning. He's a former Army Ranger. I want you to hear what he says in particular about patriotism that he's upset about? Cut number seven.
Well, the entire poll is very disturbing. I think it's evidence of a civilizational decline, and it really shouldn't come as any surprise. I mean, for decades, the entire American people, but especially conservative Americans, have been socially conditioned to ignore the culture war. You know, it's too controversial. You meet someone on the street and you start talking politics and they say, well, you know, I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm socially liberal. I mean, how many times have we had that conversation? And that's the result of a long, propaganda effort, to be quite frank. And then that's all well and good until you wake up one day in a country you don't even recognize. And that's America today.
Yeah, and he's exactly right. And he goes on to say in a second clip, and I want to play it too, some other things that he said are the sources of this rebellion against the American that we love. Cut number eight.
As an Army veteran, I talk to vets every single day, people here in Arkansas and all around the country. There is patriotism in this country, but it's towards the new identity in America, not the old one. I mean, we see the White House draped in the pride flag. We see the military gone woke. We see all these cultural institutions, big business, you know, everything, sports, the military, parroting leftist talking points. There is a new patriotism. It's just not the patriotism that we grew up with or that our parents or grandparents grew up with. And so a lot of people are simply they've had it with that. And that's reflected in that disturbing poll.
Yeah, so you put his comments together, and I thought it was very interesting because even in many of our churches today, and I'm including evangelical churches, they don't want to talk about what we call the culture wars going on out there. They don't want to talk about the homosexual movement. They don't want to talk about the filthy books in our libraries. They're saying, well, that's political issues. I don't want to be involved with that at all. So if you're not hearing about it in your church, your school system is against America as we know it. You know, I didn't
interview. Not all school systems.
Not all.
But it is coming down from the university colleges. They train the teachers. Teachers go to the elementary and so forth.
Sure.
And,
yes.
And the whole woke movement, too, is putting enormous pressure.
Yes. So you're getting it from all. If, let's say you're a 15-year-old today.
Right.
So your church is not talking about the issues.
Right.
Your young people's group. Your social media is all leftist in their attitude, and the social media, if they do talk about politics, Republicans are bad. They're not pro-gun people.
Right.
They are the people that want to take rights away from women's rights, all of those sorts of things. And so the picture is being painted that anything biblically based, anything that values that are biblically based are evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the kids are getting.
This is spiritual warfare, really, isn't it, Ray, as well? It's political, plays itself out in the culture, but the attack on the promotion of lifestyles and we've been talking about the transgendered movement. Mm-hmm. That's an attack on God's designed for humans, right, Ray?
You know, Tim, if we just circle back around to where we started with this program, what happened yesterday in Nashville was demonic. It was demonic in the deepest sense of the word. And who knows what was going on in the heart of that woman's mind, woman claiming to be a man. The darkness that was already there, you asked me earlier, is this evil? Yes, it is. Well, all of it, what has happened in America is what happens when you turn away from God. When a nation, when a culture decides that they don't need God anymore, don't need his word, we have so many times talked about the biblical underpinnings of so many people who founded this country. Well, when you decide to turn away from that, things never get better. They only get worse. So, Tim, we are in a spiritual battle. It goes beyond politics. It goes beyond Republicans and Democrats and who's going to be in the White House, even beyond who's going to be on the Supreme
Right.
Court. It is a spiritual battle for the soul of this nation. And right now, the darkness has become very powerful indeed. And at least if we're going to fight back, let's understand that this is a spiritual battle that goes beyond the political. We're going to have to fight this beginning, I would say, on our knees, crying out to God for mercy and
Amen.
For help.
Yeah. Amen. And what did Paul mean when he said our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities?
Well, remember,
do you know what verse I'm quoting there?
Yes, that's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But remember, he wrote that to the Ephesian Christians who were living in the heart of darkness. Ephesus, where the temple of Diana, Artemis, it was the heart of pagan darkness. And yet Paul said, your real battle is not against the people who go to that temple, that pagan temple. Your real battle is with the evil forces that are behind it. Remember, Nero was the emperor. Mm-hmm. He was about as bad a man as there could be. And yet Paul said, your real battle is not with Nero. It's against the spiritual forces that we're standing against. And he names them, principalities and powers and the spiritual forces that are arrayed against us. Friends, we will not win this battle in our own strength. We must get on our knees and we must cry out to God. And it was only, this is another whole topic, it's only a few weeks ago, we were talking about what was happening there at Asbury. And the final answer to what that all means is yet to be determined. But I will say this, it certainly means that without God, there is no hope. Can we agree on that? Without Yes. God and a turning to God culturally, there is no hope for America. And if judgment begins at the house of God, which it does, then maybe deliverance begins there too. So friends, we need to be praying like never before for God to cleanse us and to use us and to make a difference through us, to be salt and light in this dying world.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, if I may, Scripture also, in addition to what Ray just shared there, Scripture also tells us in Psalm, the book of Psalms, 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
You wonder why we have problems. When you turn, draw nigh to God and he'll draw to you. When you turn away from God, bad stuff's going to happen. That's a CWV version.
And, history has shown the ingredients that go into the fall of nations. And history has shown this. And there's, I think, our own Ed Vitagliano wrote an article many years ago for the Journal on this, quoting a study that's been done. And it's when societies turn against godly standards for marriage, when society turns against, opens itself up to homosexuality, on and on and on. Countries that do this, that endorse this kind of movement away from godly principles, have all failed. Mm-hmm. Those cultures have all failed. So if we don't learn, what is the saying? If you don't learn from history, history is going to repeat itself.
Right. It reminds me of a quote from George Washington, our father of our country. In his farewell address, many people listening are familiar with this. In his farewell address, he said this, and this is, his farewell, and this is it. He's saying this is what I want to leave my fellow Americans with in my speech. He said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Indispensable supports. In other words, you can't survive as a country unless you have morality, which is supported by religion.
Yes.
And in those days, religion would have been Christianity. In all its denominational forms. But George Washington said, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And there's much more to his farewell address. I encourage everybody to read that.
Yes.
All right. We shall take a time out right here. And great words there from Brother Ray. And we'll be back with Steve Jordahl and Christopher Woodward. Thanks, Fred.
Yep.
We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.